flick off your jandals, crack a cold one from the chilli bin, chuck on some cans, and enjoy a Kiwi take on all things Arsenal.
Hello and welcome back to another Arsenal New Zealand podcast. Dylan here hosting, and this time we haven't got Dave as he's away with these holidays at the moment, but wanted to do this for a little while, bring in a good mate of mine over in Australia who loves Arsenal, knows his stuff about football, so I think this should be a really good pod. I've got Zahn here. How are you, mate?
Yeah, doing good, man. Doing good. Thanks for the hype up. Hopefully I can live up to expectations.
I've set the bar high, so you can only beat it, right?
I can only disappoint from here going forward.
Well, similar to Arsenal, I guess. Although I'm a bit harsh there, I think. I think last night was not to be unexpected, but pleasantly surprised in the way we played.
Having watched it, like, literally the only surprising thing about it was we didn't actually get a result from it in the end. Like, I was feeling a little optimistic going into it, but kind of exceeded my expectations by far, like, the whole match. I'm just, yeah, shocked at the end we didn't actually get a point or anything. Feel a little hard done by that.
Yeah, I think everyone's walked away from it, you know, not disappointed in the way we played, which is a nice change from how we normally do against City and the big teams, but just that the fact that we didn't get a result from it. We did everything we could. We threw everything at them in the first half and just couldn't get that second goal.
And I mean, like, there were definitely chances. Like, there was plenty of good things that build up without, like, the final part of it, but there was at least one or two chances I can recollect which were just like, oh my God, how did that not go in? It was just, if it had have gone in, that would have just swung the momentum to us, like, 2-0 up, and we would have just been so on top of it.
Yeah, so, I mean, where are you at in terms of the whole process, as you would call it? We started the season really poorly. We've turned that around massively, not just in the results, but the performances as well. Where do you stand on where the club is at the moment with the manager?
I mean, I think his ethos is really starting to come through. It's kind of been funny, like, his last couple of games, I can't remember which one it was. I think it must have been against Liverpool or something, but when he got in that super heated, animated discussion with Klopp, so yeah, it must have been Liverpool, but, like, just that fire in him, like, he's always been a little bit of a firebrand in terms of his character, but just ever since that moment, even when we went on to lose that game, like, it seemed like the whole team's just kind of been sparked up another year, like, just in terms of our pressing off the ball, in terms of our determination to drive forward, like, it seems like the team just got angry a bit in a certain aspect, and it's been going well. But also, I think he's finally been able to settle on a relatively stable 11. Like, he's finally got his guys in the roles that he wants, and even though, like, some of the decisions to put into that 11 were kind of made without him having to do it, for instance, the troubles of Aubameyang and stuff, like, it's clicked.
Yeah, I feel like we haven't had that since before Wenger left, a stable starting 11. It's been like that through the first couple of years post Wenger, where we just haven't had a stable 11. It's been chop and change. Emery couldn't sort himself out with a starting 11 that was a regular. Arteta struggled as well, but yeah, he's really cleared out
having his guys as the personnel, like, some of the guys he's brought in, like, Ben White's coming in and slotted in straight as a starter. Odegaard has kind of finally signed to show his true worth, which is quite nice. And just the young guys, not all of it tree-blooded in, for instance, like, Emery did bring in a couple of those guys to begin with, but, like, I don't know, it's just all coalescing to something really, really nice and really enjoyable to watch.
Yeah, I think the good thing, obviously, there's so many good things about it, but with us having such a young squad and the squad we have got, they've shown, you know, the Liverpool result in the past, that would lead to a run of bad results where they're learning as opposed to letting it get them down. And hopefully we'll see that again after the City game. You know, we supporters, and it looks like the players obviously took that one really hard because of the way we lost. But it's not really time to sit back and complain. Like we've got a game in 3 days' time, so it's all about how they recover. And I have full confidence in this team that come, I think it was the Thursday against Liverpool, we'll be ready to go and we'll continue our good form.
I don't think I even realized we're playing Liverpool next. The cup's coming up. Yeah, okay, that's slightly nerve wracking, but like probably a time for it too, because I think this is the last game where anyone that's attending the African Cup of Nations will be in. So we're going to lose key players as well, but Liverpool lose Salah and Mane to start with. And I mean, it's nice coming against them without them.
Yeah, I mean, I don't think we would have seen them anyway, but yeah.
And it's the semi.
Not in the starting, but yeah, I mean, it'll be interesting to see who plays for both teams. I mean, it is a semi, as you say, but it is two legs, and maybe that'll give us a sense that we can, you know, rotate a little bit. But going back to the City game, let's focus on the first half, because I don't really think we need to go into the starting 11 too much, because it's really what everyone expects now.
I will say, though, when I saw that starting pop up, that part of what sparked my optimism about this game is like, yeah, that is our strongest 11 going forward for this game. And like, so the first half proved it was just completely the right decision.
Yeah, that was definitely a relief for me when we did the preview pod. I didn't even consider Tomiyasu because I thought he was still out. So to have him back in was a big, big win. And you know, there was the concern, obviously, going up against City that our fullbacks weren't going to really be as effective as they usually are. But that first half, they were really able to push City back. And I mean, the whole team was dominant, but it really came from the midfield and the fullbacks.
Yeah, like the only elements of City being dangerous in that first half I can really recall where there were a couple of balls sort of chipped behind by like Bernardo Silva, his ilk, in behind Tini on that flank. And that were the only times I kind of got forward, and we just handled that well. But beyond that, like, we were great in that first half and we absolutely dominated. City were just a little over the place, surprisingly. Like, I didn't really sense much threat from their wings as much as you normally would, and as kind of evolved later in this game. So yeah, credits to the fullbacks for marshalling that well. I was really impressed with Tomiyasu back there. Like, did not hear a peep from Sterling, I think. And I kind of, until I saw him pop up at a certain point, it's like, oh, I forgot Mahrez was even out there.
Yeah, I mean, they handled it well. Yeah, to start with, in the first 5-10 minutes, there was a little bit of concern that they were sort of pulling us out of shape a bit. Gabriel was finding himself out in the corner a bit too much, I think.
But yeah, and that did kind of continue as well a couple of times, although maybe City were just trying to attack too slow, but like, we kind of always had bodies to support later on going forward. But yeah, in that first couple of minutes, it was a little frightening, but that was also City just started well, and I'm actually kind of surprised they didn't continue like that.
Yeah, I mean, I don't want to take credit away from us, because I think the way we played force them into, flat. But I think
the way we played just pushed them back into the game.
Yeah, it was really promising. Like I said, the midfield as well. Party just ran the show in that first half.
Party,
I mean, that's really the first time we've seen him against, especially against big opposition. That's the first time we've really seen him in great form.
Yeah, like, there's had been definitely a couple of games this season where just for whatever reason, like, I don't know if it just felt like he was just trying to take on too many people or he was just loose to the ball, but like, I was a little underwhelmed by him. And in this game, it was just the complete opposite. Like, his ball retention, his ability to just slide the ball just that little bit past whoever's pressuring and drive forward from that was just crucial. And he was always just in there to like block out whoever was currently attacking for Man City in the middle of that position. Like, yeah, he really was so good in that game.
Yeah, even when he hasn't been in his best, you can always tell that he's almost casual on the ball. It doesn't feel like there's any effort needed from him. He just gracefully moves around, and the touch he has just, you know, the ball goes exactly where he needs it to go without, like I said, without any effort at all, it seems.
Yeah, definitely. But like, I don't know if it was just me just always noticing it at the wrong time, but every time I did kind of properly pay attention, it was like, oh, well, he's just got himself in like a trouble against like two or three defenders and lost the ball. Whereas this time it just worked. And I think it was because he did what he does there, but he also was really decisive after getting past that first person. Like, instead of trying to take on like too many people, and also probably it's just the position he was actually doing it. It was just that little bit further forward. Like, it wasn't right in front of the defense. It was closer to the actual middle of the park. So,
yeah. And I guess that is where sort of Odegaard comes into, you know, him playing well now. You know, there's actually a player there that we can progress the ball forward to. We saw that with Martinelli's chance, which I think he might have been offside. But
No. That first one, he was onside, I'm pretty sure. I actually, now that I
sorry, I'm skipping
really
ahead to the second chance.
He had another one a bit later, which was a bit offside.
But yeah, that midfield play.
This one was, so this early chance, it was Ramsdale just hoofing it from goal, as he does. But like, it was a great ball to him and Martinelli in the flank. But just the way Martinelli took control of that ball was, oh, that was something magical. He let it come down that little bit further than you would expect a player to, and it's just
It reminded me of that Sanchez control. I think it was his first game for us, where he just brought it down on his chest and it just sort of sat there for like 2 or 3 seconds. Like, just that,
yeah,
obviously a different sort of control, but just that level of control over the ball.
Yeah, Sanchez, there's a player I miss still. But yeah, and then Martinelli, just with that beautiful control, just drives it forward. We have like about 4 different people kind of coming forward at the same time. We actually have, I don't remember counting how many Man City players there were at that time, but pretty close to like at least parity, if not we had one more. And just, we made every right decision. Like, it came through to Lacazette, and then he slides the ball through to Odegaard. And just that touch from Odegaard. It was just little bit too heavy.
Let's focus on that.
And it really didn't need to be.
That's the first key moment of the match, the Odegaard potential penalty. So I think we both said last night we didn't think it was a penalty.
No.
I've watched back and I've seen the replays of that angle where it clearly shows he got none of the ball. Have you seen that?
And like, different replays kind of showed it. Like, there was, yeah, when it happened in real time, I was obviously not too sure because it happened so quick. And then like the very first one I saw, I was like, wait, did he even get the ball? Like, it looks like he got the two. But then I feel like every other angle, it did. I still don't know. It was one of those ones where I think if it had been given a penalty in real time, it would have stood. Like, it's, when it went to VAR, it's one of those ones where it's like, it's not a clear and obvious error to overturn. And I hate that phrase so much.
Yes, especially after this game, that phrase has come about with the two different penalties.
we'll get to the second one later.
But I don't know, like, maybe it's my Arsenal sunglasses on, but after seeing that angle with no clear, like, it's obvious, like, he got none of the ball. If anything,
yeah, so
if you're going to allow play on, the ball came off Odegaard last, so it shouldn't have even been a corner.
That's what I was kind of wondering. Like, so yeah, he didn't get the ball. It was Odegaard, like, just got his foot in there, and then Edison's tackled him through, and like, at least tackled him through, it's moved Odegaard's foot onto the ball. Is that right? I think that's where I kind of landed on the end there.
Yeah, that's exactly what's happened.
So even though, yeah, like, he shouldn't ever have, in that position in the first place. Like, his touch was just awful to even get in that. Like, all he had to do was take one small touch and just shoot across Edison and have a decent chance.
I mean, he
chance,
probably didn't need to take a touch. He probably could have just first-timed it.
Probably, yeah.
And, yeah, allowed himself to run onto it and taken it first time. But, look.
But now that he did, like, yeah, I guess let's not pontificate too much on what ifs. Like, yeah, can't help but feel a bit done by it, hard done by there. Although I'm saying that at the time, considering just how on top we were and how fun everything was seeing, it wasn't that bad. And it's kind of only retrospect at the end of everything that we're just like, what the? Wait, am I allowed to swear on this?
Yes.
Okay. What the fuck?
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, I agree. I don't think if we had have gone on to win the game, I don't think it would have gotten too much afterthought.
No.
And it didn't really get any thought. Based on the first half performance, I wasn't too worried about it. Like I said, when we first saw it last night, there wasn't too many complaints because we were on top, and it didn't really become an issue until the second penalty or the first penalty and the result. But look, we continued after that. It didn't let us we didn't get it down. Like I said, the one I was talking about before.
Well, if anything, that was also like, we kind of had stepped up a little bit after those first 5 minutes. This is like 10 minutes in or so, but like that was, after that, it was just all us.
Yeah. Definitely. It was a slow build, but then after that, from onwards, like I said, the one I was talking about before with Martinelli. So the way we were sort of able to shut them down so quickly as well, because the chance came from our own half. Shutting down Ben White, shutting down De Bruyne. And like I said, the midfield connecting up really well, able to get it very quickly out to the left-hand side. And like, I think he was offside, but nevertheless, Martinelli getting into those positions, and he probably should have put that in the back of the net, but it was a good save by the keeper as well.
Yeah, that one was like, that was one of those ones. It's like, could he have done better? Maybe slightly, but you can't really feel too bad about it. He got like a decent shot off. So, and yeah, like, I'm pretty damn sure that one was offside. And like, we actually got a corner out of it, so it wasn't flagged as such, but it probably would have been overall if it did go in. So, but again, it was just, yeah, like, they really couldn't handle Martinelli in that first half at all.
No, both of our wingers, I was really excited beforehand to see Saka come up against Ake.
You were salivating over that.
you just that was what we were worried about with our team, having a center back, natural center back playing right back.
As much as I like Ben White, it's like, yeah, that is not his optimal role at all. No, I would not want to see that there in a game like this.
You know, that works for City and it works for us against the smaller teams. But when you come up against big teams with big players, you need natural players in those positions. And
yeah, it's a little bit of a difference between Norwich and Man City. A little bit.
Yeah. And the same for them. You know, it worked last week against Brentford, but, you know.
I only just, different. Like, that game was a lot more tighter than I think a lot of people kind of expected.
Yeah, but you know, it just shows that you know, you can't play, I mean you can, but you can't play against the big teams with players out of position. And the way Saka's playing at the moment, I was very confident with him going up against Ake. And
he did get a lot of joy, and we did also, I thought, quite purposely look for it, especially on times like, if we were kind of like playing long and quick, like we kind of went to either flank, but if we were constructing like a bit more slow and building up into it, we were quite deliberately going for that right-hand side.
Yeah, I guess the benefit for us in this game, though, is we had both flanks. You know, sometimes we have the issue of, especially when we had particular players in the squad, that we're very one-sided. Down the left flank with Tierney and Saka. So to have both flanks, it just means we can change it up. And City didn't really know what to do. You know, we could switch it out to either flank and have them on the back foot.
And when we did build slower as well, like Tierney and Tomiyasu both had chances to move forward in that time. We were quite like successful in keeping the players going and getting in dangerous positions.
Yeah. And again, that's what led to the goal. So, Saka, really nice finish. He's really, I think a couple of weeks ago I said I was worried that, you know, for all his good work, he's not scoring goals. And now he can't stop scoring. similar to Smith Rowe, I think they're both our top goal scorers now.
I was surprised Smith Rowe didn't score yesterday just because, like, oh, he's coming off the bench. He's going to score again. Like, it's just what he's been doing lately.
But again, the midfield linking up really nice, getting it out to Tierney. And that cross from Tierney was, like, inch perfect.
It was, oh, yeah, it was perfect for sure. It looked, like, deceptively simple.
It did, didn't it?
Like, he really just played, like, just a nice, low, kind of driven pass into Saka, but, like, directly into him so he could shoot first time. But it also just, because we had Lacazette kind of, like, also taking their attention as well, so he kind of just helped open up the space for Saka. Like, they were both really close together.
Yeah, so Lacazette did really well. I think Lacazette did really well to sort of take Ake out of the game for that goal. He sort of, whether it was intentional or not, sort of put a block in, which allowed Saka just to move into the space and get the shot away.
And it did really, like, you could kind of see in Edison's reaction, like, trying to dive for that. I think it completely caught him off guard. I don't think he was expecting him to come that quick. And Saka, I think, like, it looks like kind of a nice finish. It's like, oh, he's just kind of slotted it in. I hit it with quite a bit more power than I think anyone kind of expected with him kind of coming onto it from the angle he did. Like, I was quite impressed with the finish. And he kept it low and quite across to the corner, like, not right into the corner, but far enough. Obviously, it can't be reached. Especially, like, I don't know if Edison's position was just slightly off. Maybe he was expecting a shot from Tierney, but yeah, just worked out.
Yeah, no, it was very good and well-deserved. I mean, that was really the icing on the cake for the first 30 minutes. You know, if we hadn't have gotten the goal, you know, I think, obviously, the way the game went, it turned against us anyway, but I think it was one of those halves where if we came into halftime without a goal, it would have been much worse.
Especially, like, not having a reward for, like, the efforts that we showed in that first half. Because, I mean, we're playing Man City, like, they are the top dog right now. They look dominant, and we completely showed them up in that first half. We needed to get something from it, and we did.
Yeah, and, you know, the good thing is, again, we've seen not so much in the last couple of weeks, but, you know, United, Everton, we sort of got into the habit of getting the lead and then sitting back. And
I think I completely blocked the Everton game from my mind. Oh, God, that was bad.
No one would have, you know, been amiss for saying, okay, it's City, just, you know, ease back a bit and try to hold on to 1-0 lead, but we didn't. We kept going at them and kept creating chances. Martinelli again had a couple of chances late in the second half, in the first half, where they just couldn't get close to him. That one that I thought was in, I think
the curling
everyone
shot.
Thought it was in. Yeah, from the from the edge of the box.
It was. I mean, no one can see because it's a podcast, so it's kind of useless doing visual interpretations. But, like, if, like, the post is here and the ball was, like, just here, like, it was just that tiny bit high and tiny bit wide. But, like, oh, it looks so good coming off his foot. Like, I said, like, screamed yes, and I was like, yes, no.
Yeah, like, his finishing is, I think I said it the other week, probably the best in the club.
Yeah, but we'll get to that a bit later.
I mean, yeah, don't want to talk too soon, but no. He's shown so far, except for that one terrible, terrible miss, that, you know, obviously Oba on form a couple of years ago is better, but from what we've got right now, I think Martinelli is our best finisher.
Yeah, and I'm so happy he's finally getting a good crack of it too. Like, if he wasn't getting a crack with the current circumstances that we have, like, I would kind of start the questions, like, are we just going to waste him? Are we just going to, like, sell him and not utilize him again? Like, we have so many other people in the past. So, like, this is an important time for him, and he is absolutely showing that he's good.
Yeah, and thankfully, you know, touch wood, that he's staying injury-free, because that's, I think, been his problem.
It's kind of stopping getting momentum.
We keep seeing as well, Arteta said it in his press conference a couple weeks ago, you know, he's changed the way he plays to suit the team as well. You know, he's not gung-ho 100% for 90 minutes like he was before. You know, he's picking his moments. I think there was one or two moments where in the past we would have seen him pressing the keeper in the second half when we're down to 10 men and we're trying to hold on. But he just sort of held his run, just sort of got back into shape. And we didn't used to see that. He's the type of player that used to be just running nonstop.
Oh, and like
sometimes
he's still
a detriment to the team.
He still is to a certain extent, but it's just, yeah, a lot more kind of controlled and purposeful now, as opposed to like just being wild with it. Like his pressing was so, so enjoyable in the first half. Everyone was good, but like he was super successful in it.
Yeah.
Like it's part of what actually stood out for me of his performance in that first half, particularly. Like, yeah, he's just, I don't want to kind of call it this because it makes me sound old already, but like youthful exuberance. Like it was just, he had that extra little step and extra little bit of hunger than everyone else on the pitch. Like it was great.
Yeah. Don't worry. I hate it. That's the one thing I hate about this Arsenal squad is, you know, we're looking at it going, geez, these guys are so good. I remember when I was
like
young enough
now
to be able to like look up to people playing this good and going, I hope I could be like these guys. Now it's like, fuck, I used to be that. Yeah, I could run like that once.
Watch Fabregas come through. It's like, oh, that's a great young guy. We were young. We could get into that. And now it's just like, God, I just.
Well, yeah, it makes me feel way too old. It makes me feel way too old. And then to close off the half, again, Martinelli thought the ball had got away from him, that run into the box.
Oh no, this chance was,
yeah, I thought Cancelo had really done well to get back, and then somehow Martinelli just gets his foot in and gets the shot away. And I think it was just not, like, it's one of those ones where if the spin's right on the ball, it goes in.
That's it. He couldn't put any spin on that. It was just, even in real time, I noticed this one occurring, and it's like he's darted in behind, and like he just, I thought it was in when he hit the ball off, and because it, again, had caught Edison off guard. Like, he was not expecting it. He was not going to be able to get to it. Like, the commentator did make a point, like you said, like, it's kind of the first time he's noticed anyone really get in behind Cancelo, like, this season. And it was just, it was so sneaky and so quick. Like,
yeah, I was going to say, without going too hard on the comparisons, that was, again, a very Sanchez-esque play, you know. Sanchez did all the time, where you think the chance is gone and he just somehow gets in front of the defender.
Just nips in, yeah. But, yeah. I mean, like, if you're going to be like a player, Sanchez, that Arsenal is probably not a bad player to be like.
Yeah, prime Sanchez.
I'd take him in a heartbeat.
I'd take it anytime, yeah. So, look, we go into the first half, going to halftime. First half, 1-0 up.
And yeah, we finished again like that. We can send the podcast now. Sweet. And yeah, bye.
Yeah, that's where it ended. everyone went home. Everyone was happy. Nothing else happened.
Yeah, nothing. Absolutely nothing. Do we have to talk about this?
So, I thought started for second half okay.
Oh, we did. It was basically a continuation of first half. We were fine. Like, it was
nothing
great the first like 8 or
different.
So minutes.
Exactly. I was worried going into the second half because, as we said last night to each other, it's City, it's Pep. There's no way they come out and play as bad as the second half.
Oh, no. Guardiola would have exploded at them. Like, he explodes them on a touchline when they're like 5-0 up. Imagine like being in a halftime dressing room after that.
And the thing is, overall, I don't think they were much better. It was just the fact that
they weren't. It was really their first like proper four-way forward and first like semi-threatening thing that leads to the destruction of my happiness.
Yeah, so let's go into that a little bit more.
God.
Look, this is the joys of doing a podcast, man. We get to delve into these moments that are so depressing.
I feel like I'm just reliving it like a PTSD flashback.
So, Silva one-on-one with Xhaka, probably the least
That's not a sentence you ever want to hear.
No, that's like the least wanted thing you want to see.
The guy who is like most crafty and technical with the ball and just can like just slide it out of nowhere. And yeah, coming up against Xhaka.
Look, to be fair, Xhaka is probably the most Arsenal player there is. He gets our hopes up. He has some good weeks. He plays well in a game. And then
but he always has a moment.
He fucks it up in one single moment and costs us.
Why can't his moments just be like the Norwich game where he seems to go to kick Saka in the celebration? Why can't it just be like that rather than like something actually destructive like this?
We didn't actually talk about that in the podcast last week, but what was that about?
I don't know.
Saka goes and scores a goal and you try and stud him in the back of his heel.
I honestly think that was just him. It's like, yeah, I got to get this moment out now while I got a chance.
But yeah, one-on-one with Xhaka, that's never going to end well. He turns him, slight contact, which I don't think is enough for a penalty.
No, not at all.
That was the penalty.
No, it wasn't.
But for some reason, Xhaka thinks it's a good idea to take a big chunk of her shirt and hold on for dear life. I don't think it was a penalty in a sense that I think it was very soft, but I think, what the fuck were you doing, Xhaka? You basically gave the ref the decision because when you slow that down, it feels like he's holding on for an eternity.
Yeah, like as I messaged you last night, like despairingly, it's like, why did he have to grab the shirt? And I mean, like, I almost wonder, was his hand just kind of caught ready in that position? Like, it's just when you slow everything down, like time warps so strangely, but it's just like, it almost seemed like it didn't even necessarily grab it as much as it just kind of fell into it. But obviously he tugged it without really knowing. So,
well, if he started out the motion doing that, he definitely closed his fist at some point because there was definitely a grab.
It's like, oh, I've got something. Oh shit. But like, yeah, you actually made a really good point there. Like, when you slow it down, it makes it seem like an eternity. It really wouldn't have been, like, more than half a second. And I think the most aggrieving part of it is the unnecessariness. You know what I'm trying to say. It probably doesn't exist. But, like, it was just so unnecessary. Bernardo Silva was already on the way down. He'd kind of taken himself out.
Exactly. And that's what I sort of think, maybe it was too soft to be a penalty because he was already on the way down.
Like, I don't think that was really taken into account. It's just like, hey, referee, go see this. And then you can obviously do shirt tug part of it. And it's like, oh, well, that kind of stands out. So
yeah. And look, for all the pride we take, not really probably that much pride, but for all the pride we take of having an Australian referee in the Premier League, I'm done with him.
No, I'm just not.
It's not the first time, I don't think. And I'm done with Jared Gillett.
I can't recall specifically, but I think he's been behind another VAR decision I wasn't happy with. I can't remember. It might even be for the other team I support. I'm not going to mention this because there's an Arsenal podcast I'm on, but yeah. Bloody Aussies.
Mate, that's why I come to New Zealand.
Yeah, good decision. You're not missing anything over here.
All right, so End of that. Penalties given. I never feel confident with penalties. The brief thought came over me that City's terrible at penalties, but then I remembered we never save penalties. So,
and also they're not actually terrible at penalties.
Well, they've always had an issue the last couple of seasons of picking.
Mahrez has been quite good at them this season. So, it also kind of depends on who's taking him. Like, they've actually had a few different people take him. I don't have the stats on hand, but, like, I do wonder.
Maybe it's my memory from last year, but I seem to recall them even bringing up the keeper as having a chance of being the penalty taker because no one could score one. They went through, four or five penalty takers. And
you do see keepers, like, go to... Yeah, I do kind of recall that last season. You do see, like, keepers take penalties sometimes, and, like, I feel like if anyone's going to do it, like, Madison kind of really fits the mold. He could probably... I think he actually has. Like, he just hammer it in. But also equally probably just hammer it like skywards in his space or something.
He would do a party and just kick it out onto the streets of North London.
But no, unfortunately, Mahrez is the one to step up and take this one, and he's been pretty good at them lately.
Yeah. Look, I don't think it was going to help at all with the little digs at the ground either. That didn't do anything.
No.
I kind of liked the sheer shithousery of Ramsdale standing there by himself, just digging away at it.
Yeah, you picked up on that. I don't think I noticed, like, because you said it happened like during the VAR.
Yeah, like, the ref was actually at the screen when it was happening.
And everyone's attention is that way, and he's just like, yep, all right, this is
gonna
happen.
As everyone says, like, once he's at the screen, you know he's going to overturn it. So Ramsdale's just standing there by himself all alone, digging at the grass. I don't think our turf's really the place you, like, that's not going to do anything, because it really works in shit fields where, like, it's muddy and, you know, the grass is going to move, where ours is perfect, so you can't really do anything to it.
Maybe it's just the thing, like, they do it, and maybe it gives them, like, a psychological edge. It's like, oh, I've done something to put them off. I've got, like, a better chance of this.
Yeah, maybe. But, look, they scored. It is what it is. I still...
He made a really... Like, Ramsdale made a really good dive for it. If he had it dove the right way, like, it was a good penalty for Mahrez. He might have had a chance to get it. It's just, yeah, unfortunately, dove the wrong way.
Yeah. But, look, I still felt fairly confident going into the last... 40, 35 minutes, playing. I didn't feel like it was going to, hinder us.
That really came out of nowhere. Goal.
I loved the, continuing on to from that, I loved our little chat correspondence last night. So from there, we had a really good chance with Saka pressing. I think it was Diaz or maybe Laporte, probably Laporte, heading Laporte. It over the keeper.
Mm.
And Ake having to clear it off the line. Martinelli somehow missing.
I didn't realize this until I saw a replay later. He hit the post.
I've seen a picture of how open the goal was. Ake was sitting down on the net. Edison was... way off somewhere still on the edge of the 6-yard on the other side of the goal. All he had to do was pass it into the net. But going back to my original point, the conversation we were having last night at that point in the game, because you were slightly ahead in the coverage.
Yeah, like a couple, 30 seconds.
And you said, like, oh no, or something along those lines. I thought, great. Oh,
that's right.
Yeah, Xhaka's already got himself sent off. And before you could even respond, Gabriel got himself sent off.
Yeah. And yeah, I sent you like that. It's like, you're close.
I didn't even realize Gabriel had gotten a yellow card until he got the second yellow card.
I think he got it throughout the penalty sort of furor as well. So that adds to the whole thing of why.
Yeah, so it was between Mahrez scoring and the kickoff. They kept obviously talking to the ref and he got a yellow card for dissent.
But it's such a crazy 5-minute sequence, this whole thing. Like, the penalty, and it takes a while to sort all that out, and then they score, obviously. And then that chance we have feels like it's immediately after. So we immediately have a chance to be like, screw you guys, we're still on top of this. And then we hit the post, and then from that goal kick comes this.
Yeah, we just carried on. It was great to see, but... And I've said this to others since. It's not the first time this has happened with Gabriel.
No.
I think it was Southampton last season. He gets a silly yellow card, and within 2 to 3 minutes, he goes and does something stupid to get himself sent off.
Yeah, he's a much more fiery dude than I think is kind of talked about.
Which is good.
Oh, yeah.
He's just got to channel it in the right way, but... While I don't think it was worthy of a first yellow card, although I don't know what he said, but according to the players and the manager, it was just a regular comment. It was nothing too untoward, but he gets a yellow. But from there, you know you're on a yellow. You don't go in like that.
Especially 2 minutes later.
On the halfway line as well. Like, it's the exact same position that happened against Southampton. halfway line, back to goal, and he just blocks the player off from running away. You've got
this one was also like just blatant.
Yeah.
Like just he let literally him go. Just like kind of took him out.
Let him go and let your defense deal with it.
Yeah, because it's also, we had players back behind there too. Like, he did not have to make it there, right? It was not like he was like the last defender. But also, it's the fact he did it to Jesus. Like, it was kind of a thing simmering under the surface that I don't know how much people noticed, but like, those two were at each other the whole entire match up to that point. And if there is a player that's really good at like needling someone and getting underneath someone's skin, it is Gabriel Jesus.
Yeah, I didn't actually notice that, but
I noticed it quite a few times in the first half. Like, that was
always kind of disappointing. That was probably more disappointing, obviously, because it changed so much, much more significantly. But that was probably more disappointing to me than the Xhaka one, because it was just needless. In not just the timing, the position on the field, there was just no need for it. And that then basically gives the game to City.
That was from the goal kick that was off the back of our chance where we hit the post. Like, we were still on top of this game. And then, like, it's just like, oh, so we've already had momentum stifled from that penalty, and now we're down to 10 men against Man City. Crap.
Yeah. And we all know how that goes. Look, to be fair, we were still comfortable for the rest of the game.
We did well with 10 men. Like, Man City definitely came into it more and started to dominate the ball more. But, like, we were dealing with the chances rather well. Like, they still didn't have a proper threatening chance I can really recall.
No, their second shot on target was the goal.
It was. Okay, yeah. God damn it. They had
the ball, but they didn't have chances, really. Really clear-cut chances, and that was down to us. We managed the game really well.
Did Ramsdale make a save last night then? Because if they had two shots on target, and they were both goals...
I'm not sure.
Like, he's still doing good stuff, but like, I just like, yeah, I kind of thought this at the point in the first half, and I saw a thing where they hadn't had a shot on target. It's like, I don't even know if he's really had to make a save.
It was... To be fair, it was a very quiet game for him. He had some moments, but it was very quiet. But, going on, just quickly touching on the last few things. Substitutes, happy with those?
Yeah, I mean, the first one, obvious. We lost the centre back. We kind of need to bring one back in.
Was that the right decision, do you think, to take Odegaard off and leave other particular players?
In an ideal world, with the way Xhaka was acting, you kind of wish you could take him off, but you also... If you're going to take them off, you need to bring on like another proper holding midfield, especially down to 10 men. So it kind of had to be one of those front guys. You've got Saka and Martinelli still like pace on the flanks and a chance to break, which is a lot more important of 10 men. So it kind of needed to be, Odegaard or Lacazette. And
yeah, I would have thought Lacazette maybe purely just for the passing range of Odegaard.
It's either you choose a bit more passing opportunity there, or you choose a slightly more advanced fulcrum who's more of a striker. So it's kind of 50-50. You're in a bad space no matter what.
Yeah, I think it also maybe had something to do with Lacazette's leadership. Because last night, like that game, you know, for everything we want to say about the referee and everything, at the end of the day, we lost our heads in the second half. With those decisions going against us, and the young players maybe got caught up in the occasion being 1-0 up, decisions going against us. We really needed just a calm head. And from all our senior players, you're certainly not going to get that from Xhaka. So it had to come from Lacazette and Partey, and both of those two really, really did that well last night, especially Lacazette, I think.
Yeah, I mentioned this to you last night as well. But it's like, God, I hope we can keep him. I don't think he wants to stay at this point. Like, we've kind of screwed him about quite a bit. But, like, if we could keep him, he would be so good to keep around.
Yeah, I don't know if it's just, I don't know, the way football is that you can't really go and offer a 30-year-old a one-year contract anymore because they're all looking for like that one big one final. Year, like,
yeah.
You know, like, I don't know. From my point of view, I think we need to go back to that as a club. No more 3-year, $350,000 contracts.
Yeah, no, we've kind of messed up a bit there the last couple of years.
But do players really want to accept a one-year contract anymore? Maybe if we were close to winning the Champions League and winning the Premier League, but yeah, a mid-table trying to fight for top four while we are on the up, does a one-year contract really suit a player these days when they're really looking for that final contract?
Yeah, and especially like part of the problem with one-year contracts for older players is if you get injured or experience that decline from it, yeah, that's it. You're not going to get anything close to what you're getting for another future contract. That's why they want a bit more of like the stability of a couple more years or higher money, obviously. So, but also in his thing, like he's kind of, we bought him in to be top dog and then we immediately bought in like Aubameyang half a season later and then he's kind of had to be behind him in the pecking order. Like I could understand from a personal standpoint if he is just over it.
Yeah, just, especially like,
in
World
a selfish
Cup
way,
it's
like,
well.
Yeah, in a selfish way though, it's just like, I wish he would stay. Like he's just so good for the team as we are set up currently.
Yeah, and I don't
and
think
he plays
anyone
so well with the kids. Oh my
yeah,
God, the kids.
I don't think anyone sitting here saying Lacazette needs to sign a contract and play 38 games next season. But we need someone like a Lacazette who can fill in, who can come off the bench, offer something different, make an impact.
And just offer some
which
leadership
you're not going to get from, as much as I like him, you're not going to get that from a Balogun yet.
No.
And Kedi is leaving as well by the looks of it. So we need someone. I mean, we could easily, I guess, go out and get two strikers, but I don't think that's the wisest decision to make. No. And it's not easy to do that.
Throughout all this, we haven't even mentioned Aubameyang at all, who we do still have, but like, yeah.
Have we
passed a threshold with him?
It definitely seems like it, but
The way we handle these most like recent disciplinary issue and we just aired it out so much in public, it really seems like from the club standpoint is like they're trying to separate from him.
Yeah, I do feel like from what we've seen with like, and I've said this already previously, with other players who have maybe been on the outside for one or two reasons, like Maitland-Niles turning up late, getting dropped, apologizing, making up for that, and then being brought back into the side. I feel like it could be an element of all Aubameyang has to do is apologize, work hard, and he'll have a chance to get back into the team. Whether we want him back in the team anyway because of the way he's been performing is another question.
Yeah.
But that's a whole nother subject.
Yeah, we've definitely gone off a bit of a tangent here.
Lacazette's
still on the field at this point. We haven't even stopped him off yet.
Look, going back to what we're going, so substitutes, it was Odegaard. Holding, I mean, did what he had to do.
He did really decent. It's unfortunate the role he kind of played in the last goal. It wasn't really his fault, but like he did well coming on.
No, that's what I was going to say. I can't really blame him. It was one of those situations where he probably played him onside, although in those situations, you can't really...
No, well, the ball's just kind of fallen and ricocheted in such a way. It's like, oh, crap.
Yeah.
We'll get there.
But yeah, he did okay. Next one was Smith Rowe on for Lacazette.
Mm.
Didn't really offer much, I don't think, in that game.
No.
Obviously, different circumstances. We were sort of sitting in and trying to hold on, but he didn't really offer anything going forward, I don't think, in this game.
He did just look slightly off the pace for this one, and it is just the thing of like, hey, coming on and you're on a side with 10 men and you're being pushed back. Like, you don't really get a chance to build any sort of momentum. And it's just, yeah, this is such a sucky circumstance to come on, especially as like an attacking substitution. But yeah, no, he just didn't really get much of an opportunity, and when he was kind of on the ball, wasn't as scintillating as it has been lately with him. We can forgive him for that.
Yeah, I mean, you can't, you know, put any blame on Smith Rowe for anything. It's just, yeah, I was a bit disappointed in his performance, but you can't.
I mean, I'm disappointed because I was just expecting him to score, but yeah, that was just me being selfish.
That felt like a sure thing, right?
What would it have been, like four or five times in a row at that point?
Yeah, four in a row, but look, I'm sure you'll get one next week.
Oh, yeah. Well,
next.
Yeah.
Next, we've got Elneny on for Saka. Felt very much just like a hang on at all costs.
It's kind of funny. As soon as he came on, like, he came on as I think Man City were taking a throw, and they just threw it straight to him in like a pretty advanced position. It was like, oh, go, Elneny. And then we kind of messed it, like, passed it around a bit, and then someone passed it to him, and he did this, like, crazy nice looking back heel thing that I don't think he even intended to get it out to a flank, our flank in a dangerous position. I was like, oh, go, Elneny.
Yeah.
I like Elneny quite a bit.
I don't think us here at the podcast, we don't hate Elneny, but yeah, he does what he does. Yeah, you get a consistent performance. And
he's a good, solid role player.
Yeah, yeah, he did what he needed to do. I don't know if it was his fault or for the goal. If we're blaming anyone, it has to come from the fact that we didn't shut down De Bruyne's cross.
Yeah, it was either
him or Martinelli who was at fault for that. You can't blame Martinelli because he ran his socks off. So maybe Elneny could have done better at getting across and shutting that down.
I was going to try and bring up that goal because I cannot recall much of the sequence before where it lands.
So going over the goal, I'll try to explain it as best I can. So De Bruyne on the right crosses it in under no pressure at all. Holding gets a little header to it, goes to White and... bit of a ping pong in the box. White tries to clear it, ends up at the feet of Rodri, who just pokes it in past Ramsdale.
But yeah, looking at it now, like, I think Holding's the one that heads it into Rodri, but like, yeah, Elneny is the one who has any opportunity to kind of close down De Bruyne there. But yeah, it's also one of those things, like, you're down to 10 men, you kind of like having to shift everywhere and try and mark one extra person. Like, yeah, it's just unfortunate. It's a really good cross from De Bruyne.
Yeah, it just felt like one of those goals you give away when you've played half a game with 10 men and you're in the 92nd minute against a city side that makes you run.
You've done so well to hold on and just you win a header in the box and it just falls straight to one of their dudes and who basically, like, Ramsdale's there, but he basically has an open net to kind of choose from.
From that close, there's chance for, unless he picks it right at Ramsdale, there's nothing he can do there.
Exactly. It's just like, as long as he takes a moment to be like, oh, I'm just going to do that. Goal! Yeah. So, it's just such a disappointing way to end what was a really, really good game from us.
Yeah, that's sort of where it ended. I mean, it was good we didn't give up. We sort of tried to push on and get a goal, but it just never looked like City
concede again. 3 minutes of injury time, like, after that goal came in, and we did push forward to try and get one back, but yeah, it just never was another good opportunity after that.
No. 2-1, we go down. It was, you could see on the players after the game, they were out on their feet. I think there was multiple of them just lying down on the ground. And they were just, disappointed. But again, like we said at the start of the podcast, we have to take the performance and not the result from this and just continue on the way we're going.
Mm. Like, yeah, you can totally understand the reaction. It was a crushing defeat in the terms of, like, how do we lose that after, like, how good we played? But hopefully we just, keep the momentum going because, we really, truly played well. We were better than City in that game, and not many teams can say that this season.
No, not at all. Okay, quickly just to finish off the pod, we'll go through some player ratings. So without too much thought, just off the top of your head, we'll go through them one by one. Ramsdale.
Like I said, he didn't really have to make a save, it seemed like. He wasn't really at fault for either of the goals. I would probably go something along the lines of like a 7, just because his distribution was good. Like, there was actually one corner, I do recall, him coming to claim and just absolutely smutter, even though, like, the ball was outstretched on his fingers. Like, he was just his typical self. God, he's impressed me since he's come through. I'll give him a 7.
Yeah, I probably agree with a 7, actually. I put an 8, but that's probably me being generous based on his distribution, especially that one to Martinelli. There was one error in the first half, which almost led to the goal.
I forgot about that, the kind of like weird flap when Diaz got there first. But yeah.
But other than that, flawless in the way he handled himself in the box.
Yeah.
Tomiyasu?
7.5. I just realized you want me to be quick about this, and I'm not going to explain everyone for a minute.
I was about the same. I put an 8. Like I said, both the both the fullbacks were very good in this, especially the first half. But second half, the way that they fought as well and defended, they did well.
Yeah, I'll bump mine up to an 8. Actually, yeah, it deserved better than that.
Ben White,
7, just solid. His typical self, really nice passing range from the back as well. Again, not really a fault for out of the goals. Like, he was fine.
Yep, I had 7 as well. Good performance. Gabrielle.
Such a needless bloody send-off. Like, he was actually doing well throughout the match to be the same sort of as White, but because he got sent off, I can't give him any higher than like a 4 or something. Like, that was just pointless.
Yeah, I gave him a 5 as well.
Because he was good before he got sent off. It's just, that really just soured everything.
Yeah, we were handling those balls over the top very well. He was pushing them out wide, keeping them in front of him, exactly what you want. But yeah, that 2-minute spell in the second half just completely destroyed his performance.
And it was 2 minutes. 2 bloody minutes is all it took.
Well, probably not even 2 minutes, to be fair, because I'm going based off the rounding up of the times, but it was a ridiculously short period of time. But Tierney,
8, similar to Tomiyasu. He led to the assist of that, but just same sort of creativity. He was slightly better in attacking sense, slightly more suspect in the defensive sense compared to Tomiyasu, so it balances out.
Yeah, I gave him an 8 as well. I don't think he was as bad. I know you're not
mean. It's not necessarily bad, but him being bad. It's just like the few times Man City were threatening in that first half of the TV were successfully just getting over the top of him onto that left flank, which their right flank, which is something they're good at.
I think what he did well, though, was, and we've seen in the past he maybe struggled with, is keeping Mahrez from cutting in on his left foot.
True. And like really I said, that. I didn't really recognize Mahrez at all, especially in that first half. So, yeah. But
I 8 as well. I think, and good assist as well. Party.
9.5. I was super impressed with him yesterday. Like, he was perfect at his role. Absolutely perfect at his role.
And what a shame. As immediately after doing that against City, he goes away for up to 4 or 5 weeks.
I did mention African Cup of Nations earlier. I didn't even kind of click of that. It's like, crap. Oh, that does suck.
We finally got him into some good form and off he goes. Look, I don't hate Ghana, but I hope they fail at the AFCON. I hope they fail miserably and they're out by the group stage.
Yeah, it's nah. Good luck to him. That's just all I can say.
I'm good luck to them, but I hope you fail. I gave him an 8.5. He was my man of the match as well, but
man of the match, high. I should add as well. Probably maybe overhyping it slightly. I was just very, very happy and impressed with him yesterday.
But no, I think you're completely correct. His runs, that run he made in the second half, even Martinelli couldn't keep up with him. His control over the ball. And just the ease.
His ability to drive us forward to just get past that one defender and just set us up in a much better attacking situation.
And we've seen that with his passing earlier in his Arsenal career. Like, he takes out multiple players at once with his passing, with his touches.
Like, I think it was that Martinelli offside chance in the first half, but the way he just took control of the ball, just dragged and nutmegged that Man City guy and just drove forward. And he actually held onto it for too long, which is why Martinelli was offside. But just moments like that were just, why we were getting in behind like we were.
And everyone's favorite, Xhaka.
Yeah.
He actually had a decent game.
Can Xhaka be rated? He just seems unrateable. Like, he's just so... He's so Xhaka.
He actually had a decent
Xhaka
game.
Xhaka gets a Xhaka.
Yeah. Until that moment. Because even in the back half of the game, when they were really pressing for the goal, there was a couple of instances, because I think he moved more to a back three with Xhaka playing in the back line, and he made a couple of important blocks.
And he did okay. That's what I mean.
It was
like,
just that,
he should be
just that one
rating.
Moment.
He should be a good rating, but just because of that one moment, I can't go higher than like a 5.5, like just because that moment was so indefensible.
Yeah, I did a 6.
Why did he pull the shirt?
Odegaard.
Seven.
Okay.
He was really impressive pressing from the front, like dovetailing with Lacazette. I thought he was a bit more quieter in the sense that he has been lately of actually like creating and passing, but like he was still just there. I was actually really impressed with his effort of pressing. So that's why I bumped him up a little bit.
Yeah. It's always been one of his strong things since coming into Arsenal, isn't it? His pressing. Mm. And yeah, he's going to be similar to that Arsenal season, Ozil season, I should say, where he's almost like controlling everything we do, but he's not getting the numbers because he's the assist pre-assist.
Yeah.
He's the pass before the assist.
And I'm someone that likes that metric quite a bit.
Yeah, and you do just not see that as much because it tends to go under the radar. But I think he was a little bit quieter today, but he did have some good moments.
Well, it's like you've given Xhaka and Odegaard the same rating. I was like, yeah, no,
I do feel bad about that now. Yeah, now I look at it like on the screen, it doesn't feel right to me. So I'm going to bump that up. I don't know if I should bump it up. I probably should, but I should also decrease Xhaka.
Nah,
there needs to be
a
bigger gap. There needs to be a bigger gap there. Saka.
8. Just his typical impressive self. Actually 8.5, just for that goal alone, he gets a little bit of a bump up as well. I think it was just his typical, impressive self.
That's fair, yeah. Ever since he started scoring, he's just taken his game up. And I don't think I can pick one over the other as to him and Martinelli. I think they'll both be brilliant.
Yeah, but at the same time, like if I gave Saka 8.5, I'm going to give Martinelli a 9. Like, again, it was like similar. You can't really pick between the two, but like he was just at the end of so many chances. Like he was getting in great spots, and there were a few where it's like, oh God, he's just that close.
If only his finishing today was better.
But it wasn't even like, besides the one that hit the post, like, oh my God, he should have scored that. But like, they were hard chances otherwise that he was really coming into and doing well with. And I just thought his pressing led to so many little turnovers that we got from their Man City's right-hand side in particular in that first half. Like, and he was just still going towards the end. That, I don't know, I was just really impressed with him. If he had kept up his first half performance, he probably would have been man of the match instead of Partey for me. But
I think if he gets a goal, then yeah, probably. Mm-hmm. But yeah, I gave him both an 8.
Which is fair too.
Think, yeah, both of them just gave us something different on either flank. I really like Saka's run in the first half where I think it was Rodri who fouled him because they had double up on him on the sideline and he sort of got between both of them and then was brought down. Like I said, different players, different styles of play, but they're both super effective.
And it's really nice to have both of them out there.
Yeah. Lacazette.
7. Like I say, you put a 7 here, and I'm kind of just going to roll with that. Like, in no sense did he do bad or deserve any like lower, but like it's just his role
feel
was
like
kind of
based
off
on
the ball.
I feel like based on my scores, I definitely need to lower Xhaka and Gabriel's because it feels a bit harsh to only give him a 7 when I've given Xhaka a 6, but. Look,
like I said, Xhaka was good. It's just that one moment. Same with Gabriel, but yeah.
Look, Lacazette, again, he's not going to be the center of attention because he's not getting goals or assists in the games always. Mm. But like we said before, his leadership in this game to try and calm the ship, which I would say was pretty well done, because after the 5 minutes of mayhem, we sort of went back into our shape and managed the game okay. So from a leadership point of view, it was very good. Maybe just a little bit quiet in the game.
Yeah, like that's just why he's so hard to write in this one, because he was pivotal without really doing too much. He did lay on the assist for the Odegaard chance, which should have A, been a penalty, or B, should have been a goal. But yeah, like he had his moments for sure, but like, yeah, he just, especially compared to like just all the other kind of attackers around him, those two wingers were, yeah, the main dudes.
Yeah, no, it definitely, I mean, I guess that's what he gives to the team, isn't it? Like, he allows the others to play. But look, let's go on to the quickly the substitutes. I don't think we need to talk too long about either, all three.
Nah, but it's kind of hard to give a sub a good rating when they don't really have much of a chance to do anything.
Yeah, so Holding.
Yeah, six. He did his job well. It's an unfortunate part in the goal, but like no real blame can be attributed to him on that.
Yeah, I went with a six as well. Again, yeah. Didn't stand out, but you kind of don't want him to either.
He was solid when he came on and did well. Like, just, yeah, they just, A, didn't have a lot of time to really put his mark on it, and B, just he had to do his job, and he did it well enough.
I got to say, I don't know about you, but I'm not saying I don't anymore, but I used to really like Holding. One, for the fact that he was so cheap and he was solid, but also two, because of the haircut. I can't get behind the new haircut. It looks very much like Rooney's haircut when he got his new hair. Like, it just doesn't look real. It looks fake. Like, the hairline.
I try not to think about that Rooney hair at all, but
I don't know what Holding was thinking, because all the best defenders are bald. Most.
Yeah. It's not a bad shout. Although I do love Carlos Puyol, and he is anything but bald.
So I don't know. Maybe he's lost a bit in my books from that, but he was solid.
Hey, he's all right. Yeah. It's just, yeah, I don't know. You kind of get used to the way a player looks sometimes. So when they don't look like that anymore, you're just like, I don't like that. Yeah. Like, imagine David Luiz without like his sideshow bob hairdo.
Yeah.
No, you can't. You could. You just can't.
Smith Rowe.
Five, incomplete. Not enough time to do much. Didn't get much of a chance to do anything. Wasn't too impressive, but like, yeah, not his fault. Same with Elneny. I'm just going to go, yeah, five, not incomplete.
Yeah, middle of ground, yeah.
Unless five, they like score or do something like crazy when they come in, you can't really give like a sub that comes on that late much of a chance to do anything.
No. So look, that pretty much wraps it up. Look, I appreciate you coming on, man, because it's never easy talking about these games after, it's so easy to talk when we're winning 4-0 against Norwich. But
yeah, why could I have been on to that one?
Yeah, to come on after talk, after watching what happened last night. Yeah, it's a tough one to take, but I think we can all come away positive.
Oh, absolutely. Like, I mean, yeah, like, oh crap, I'm having to talk about the Man City game, but like, I was so impressed. And this last couple of weeks at Arsenal just made me feel like them in such a way that I haven't actually felt for quite a long time. Like, I feel hopeful. I feel confident in my team. Like, I feel excited to watch them. Like, it's great. Long may it continue.
Yeah, for sure. Especially with them being so young, it just, you know, they're going to learn from it.
Now, how are we going to screw this up?
Exactly. That's what I'm Xhaka, 5-year contract.
Yeah, that'd probably do it. Give him the captain's armband.
No, I was going to say, yeah, give him the captain's armband. That'll do it. That'll for sure do it.
Yeah, because we learned our anyway, lessons.
Man, we might leave it there, but thanks again for coming on. It's been great. I knew your football knowledge is good, so it was always going to be interesting talking to you. So I really appreciate
it. No worries. Thank you for having me on.
Come back again next time after we win perfectly, you know.
Maybe you'll set me up for like a Liverpool game where we get hammered 6-0 or something. That sounds about right.
Yeah, you won't hear from me again until we lose against Liverpool. But we'll make a deal out. Okay.
All right, I'll come on for our tough or horrific losses.
All right, man. Thanks for coming on. Talk to you later.
Thanks, man. Bye.